If you find a set of keys, please give it to me. All right, so if you're sitting somewhere there and you find a set of keys, please hand it back to me, okay? One of our church members texted me and he lost his key. So let's all stand. We'll sing one more hymn, 812 at the very back, almost at the very back of the hymn. 812, Victory in Jesus. On the first, please.
I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save the wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, about His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood.
He loved me ere
I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about the mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory
in Jesus,
my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood.
He loved me ere
I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Ray, we've been reading your letters through the years, and our folks feel like they kind of know you already.
Good.
I've told them some stories about you.
Uh-oh.
Back when we were in Bible college and the good times that we had together with our families.
Thanks.
And Lori, you see my daughter over there by Dave, she was 2 years old, I think, two or three back then. And John was just an infant, and Linda had the two little ones in the nursery while we went to classes, if you recall.
Yes.
There were only a few married couples in the college. And so the ladies kind of ran the nursery and took turns and then sat in on classes with us. But we have a lot of great memories from back then, over the old coffee pot and, you know, solving all the problems of the world over a cup of coffee in between classes. At least we thought we knew everything that we knew. But, you know, Bible college is great. It equips you, but it just whets your appetite, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And people that follow the Lord spend their whole life reading and studying the Bible, isn't that
sure.
right? All of us.
Right. Sure.
As long as we live, there's always more to know and closeness to gain by walking with the Lord. But let's give a good welcome this evening to our missionary, Brother Ray Hoover, all right? I wish Wanda was here with you, Brother Ray.
I do too.
But you give her our very best, okay?
Pastor.
God bless you. Preach to us.
It is good to be with friends. And I love Filipinos.
Amen.
How many Filipinos in here?
I'm
wow.
Filipino.
I was in Dr. J. Salva's church.
Yeah.
And Dr. J. Salva is in Cebu. Are any of you from Cebu? No? No? Baguio? Davio?
No.
No? Oh, my goodness. Manila?
Yeah,
all right. Well, anyway, I have had the privilege of working with Filipinos for a number of years. My dear, dear friend in Malta was a Filipino, he and his wife, and they brought in many, many, many families of Filipinos. So I've had the privilege of working with them, and now in Ethiopia. By the way, Filipinos are everywhere. Everywhere you go, I don't think there's a country in the world where there aren't Filipinos.
Amen.
But I met some Filipinos, and they asked me, they said, well, is there a church here with Filipinos? And I said, there sure is. And so we're trying to reach in to a new community of Filipinos there in Ethiopia. Well, let me tell you a little bit. My wife's name is Wanda. And if you have followed the letters, Wanda and I have been married 45 years.
Amen.
Hard to believe when you're 50 years old. Not quite 50 plus a little bit, but she and I have been married 45 years, and we have three grown children and 9 grandchildren.
Amen.
So I don't know how many you have, Pastor, now.
Got 12.
Oh my goodness. That just shows how young I am. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But, 12. Praise the Lord for that. I would like to tell you a little bit about what's happening in Ethiopia, because Wanda and I are your missionaries. Each local church, ladies and gentlemen, each local church partners with the missionary. We are in partnership together, and we work together reaching souls for Jesus Christ. And so every dollar that you invest in the ministry there goes to reach men and women for Jesus.
Amen.
We're very careful with money. We don't just throw it away. We're very careful with it. We use it wisely. We do our very best to reach as many people as we possibly can. In the last, maybe 5 or 6 years, we've probably seen 400 or 500 profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And God has been good to us. Ethiopia is open to the gospel. Praise God for that. Because many African countries are closing. Ethiopia is wide open. The one thing I'd ask you to pray about, please pray that the Lord will help all of us missionaries, each one of us. There are six independent Baptist missionaries in Ethiopia. Pray that God would help each one of us to be very wise. The African mentality is this: give me, give me, give me. Refugee mentality. And that is a very bad thing, because when you start a church, when you try to build a work, you want that work to be self-sustaining. You're a pastor? Yes. There was another pastor, this brother? Yes. So you men understand that. Your pastor and I certainly understand it. You want a work to be self-sustaining. But 10% of nothing is nothing. And there are a lot of, I'm a mathematician by now. It's hard.
Yes.
When you don't have a job and you want to tithe, but there is no job. It's difficult. It really is. And Ethiopia is a poor country. Praise God, it is coming up. Now, I have a DVD, but we don't have the ability tonight to show it to you. Maybe another day. Pastor, I could give it to you.
Okay.
I could give you a copy, and you can see it another time. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. So I'll be happy to do that for you. But what I want you to know is, in a poor country, how do you relate to people that even if you're not a rich man, they see you as being extremely rich, filthy rich, because their salary, per year, their wages per year is $400. Now you can imagine. I think you probably make $400 a week.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that. At least that much. Okay. So $400 a year. Their homes, let me just talk to you a little bit about the field, okay, before I preach. Their home, average Ethiopian home, would be the size of this area of the Baptist Street. One room. If there are two rooms, it might go from wall to that wall. There would be five or six people living in that home, similar to the way it is in other third world countries. Usually there is no running water. If there is electricity, there would be one bulb hanging down from the ceiling and one socket for the whatever appliance they would have. Kitchen would be outside. Remember years ago, we sometimes when we go out in the country and we'd be backpacking or something, we'd just take the wood and dig a hole and put the wood in the hole and build a fire that way. That's where their fires are. Except that they will have stones around it and they'll put a pot on that and whatever they have, they will fix. So, is it poor? Yes. But I want you to know something. They would give you, if you walked into their home and you and I were together, they'd say, oh, please, sit down here. They'd give you the very best of whatever they had to sit on. If they had one piece of bread, they would give you the biggest slices of that bread. They may not have any. If they had coffee, they would give you the very best that they had. If they had any sugar, they would put that in your coffee. They probably wouldn't have any milk. But what I'm telling you is, I've seen them where we've walked in and they've given the very best they had. They would give you, literally, we used to say the shirt off your back. I've seen that. Where that they would give you something. We've lost that in America. We have lost that respect. We have lost that ability to be able to minister to somebody else. I'm old enough. I can remember my mom and dad, they taught me, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Be quiet when you're in the church. You sit down there until you're talked to. All those things that we've lost over the years, praise God, there are still some countries that have that. In the Philippines, I saw that. Respect. And I see it in Ethiopia. So, Ethiopia is wide open to the gospel. As I told you, we've seen several hundred come to know Christ in the last few years. We have a main church in Addis Ababa. Out of that church, we have four other churches. So we have tried our best to win souls, to build Baptist churches. We're not building some other kind of church. We are building Baptist churches built upon the Word of God with the right doctrine, the right emphasis. We're building churches just like this one right here. When I sit down there, and brother, I heard you singing, and sister, I heard you, your daughter?
Yes.
Ah, praise the Lord. You did well, by the way.
Yes.
Praise God for that. Keep going. It reminded me so much. We don't have a piano like that. We have a little keyboard. But the songs are the songs. Whether it's in Amharic, whether it's in Tagalog, whether it's in English, makes no difference. The songs that we love, those are the songs that we sing.
Amen.
And we try to make the service encouraging and uplifting to the people who come. And different language, but the same God.
Amen.
So it's a privilege to be here with you tonight. And Pastor, once again, brother, it's so good to see you. My goodness. I've aged. What's happened to you? You've stayed young. All right, let's go to the Word of God now. Matthew 26. Once you find your place, let's stand together and we'll read from verse 6. Matthew 26 and from verse 6 to verse number 13. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, as he set at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Can we pray together, please? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the Community Baptist Church in Garfield, New Jersey, a little place that needs the gospel. Oh, Heavenly Father, put a hedge around this place. Oh, God, bless their pastor, bless his family, bless the other pastors who are here tonight. Bless the people of God, Lord. Father, may your precious hand be upon this work. May you bless it. And may this work honor and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless my dear wife back in Ethiopia.
Yes.
Bless our church services today. Oh God, I hope that they were a blessing. Mm-hmm. Father, this is the day we celebrate as Easter. Mm-hmm. But the truth to be known, every Sunday is a resurrected Sunday.
Yes.
A day when we have our resurrected Lord, our head, the foundation stone, the one who the builders set aside, but God put him at the head of the corner. Hallelujah to our wonderful God. So Father, in the precious name of Jesus, please bless your word tonight. Help me, O God, to preach. I pray that you will fill me and anoint me, O Lord, so that the words that I would say tonight might please you and might bless your people.
Yes.
Now, Father, if there's anyone here who's unsaved tonight, help them to receive Jesus. Oh, Lord, what a privilege it would be if someone would come and receive Christ tonight. Oh, God, may your blessings be upon the service.
Mm-hmm.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated if you would. I saw three things in this. You know, the first one that I see is the fact of that woman. And the way that the scripture relates, you know, Jesus would elevate the woman. Jesus would encourage the woman. By the way, there are many parts of the world, Ethiopia is one of them, where that many places where the woman's walking back there 10 feet behind the man. You talk about equality, they have equality. The woman works just as hard as a donkey does. They carry the wood, they carry the water, they carry the child, they carry whatever is necessary, and the man is working out in the field. So equality, yeah, they have equality with a donkey, with an ox. But Jesus looked at this woman. Now he was in the house of Simon the leper. And by the way, I want you to remember something. They said, your master eats with publicans and sinners. Hallelujah, he sure does.
Amen.
And if he was here tonight, he would eat with you and me.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Ray, I'm not a sinner. You were, my friend. If you're a believer here tonight, you were a sinner, lost, and on your way to a devil's hell. But if Jesus Christ saved you as he has saved us, then you are a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I love your song. What's your name, brother?
David Potter.
Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave. Pastor David. Pastor Dave. May God bless you. Boy, it thrills my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy music that exalts the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and puts us where we belong. We're the redeemed. Hallelujah to God. But you know what they did? They said, why? Your master eats with publicans and sinners. Yes, he does. And lepers. And men and women who have been at the foot of the cross.
Yes, sir.
Then he lifts them up. Makes saints out of them. Well, here he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And there came unto him a woman. And they would say, that woman. That woman. I can tell you about women like that in Ethiopia. The very first person we led to Jesus Christ. Very first one. Name was Bethlehem. We call her Betty. Bethlehem Mulugeta. She lives in New York City. And I said New York City. I'm sorry about that. Baltimore. She lives in Baltimore. Baltimore, Maryland. Am I right? Maryland? Yes, Maryland. And Betty worked for us. And in Ethiopia, as in many countries, you have to have someone working in a home. If you don't, then you'll have thieves breaking into your home. It's just that way. There's no other way around it. But Betty was working for us, and she was Orthodox. I think you realize Ethiopia is about half and half, around 45% or so Orthodox and about 45% Muslim, and the remaining 10% would be Christians and pagans and other things. So about half of the country is divided as Islam and what we call Coptic or Greek Orthodox. Do you know what Orthodox believe? No? Okay, they're the same as Roman Catholic. Any of you Roman Catholic before? Huh? Yes? Okay. Well, the Orthodox Church has a patriarch instead of the Pope, and they allow their priests to marry, what the Roman Catholic Church does not. Otherwise, they're almost identically the same. Very, very, very close. So anyway, the people, they will many times, they will look at the woman there in Ethiopia, and they will say, the woman, she's a piece of property. She is just one of our wives. So they have plurality of wives, and they may have number one, number two, number three. I think number one is the very best. I stayed with number one. I didn't go any further than number one. I'm very happy with number one. But they will. They'll have a plurality of wives. And it's just like the Bible times. Many times you'll hear them in Amharic. They'll say, woman. Yeah. Happens. Many times. Not for the Christian. Not for the Christian. But for the ones who are not believers, many times it will be woman that way. But here in this text, the Bible says, there came unto him a woman. And I want to say this to you. Women are important in the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times, people who come from charismatic type churches say, oh, the Baptist won't give the woman any place to serve. Ladies, you can serve anywhere you want, but the pulpit and the pastorate of the church is for the man of God.
Amen.
And it's not for a woman of God. It is for the man of God. Now, please forgive me if I've offended someone. I'm sorry, but the Bible is very clear. The Bible says that the pastorate is for the husband of one wife.
Amen.
And so, Women are not pushed aside in our churches. They're exalted in our churches. And they can serve the Lord just as much as any man can.
That's right.
I want you to know it is not Ray Hoover the missionary and Wanda. It is Ray and Wanda Hoover, your missionaries, you caught it, your missionaries to Ethiopia, to Malta, to wherever we're serving the Lord. And I want you to know it's a husband and wife commitment to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not just a man and then a woman tags along. Oh no, my wife sacrifices so that we can be in Ethiopia.
Yes, sir.
Now let me tell you something that's very interesting. You can't go in Ethiopia as a missionary, like many other countries. You have to have something, Pastor. You have to have some kind of a trade, some kind of a profession. You have to have something. My wife is a certified English teacher. Has been for many years. She's taught many other subjects, but she's certified to teach English. And they needed her. She's in the country as a certified English teacher. I'm the spouse. Don't I look like a spouse? That's exactly what I am. I'm a spouse. But hallelujah to God. Look, we have one of these. You talked about your green card. Well, I've got a green card.
That's a real green card.
Yeah, it's a real green card. It's a residence permit. And it says Ray Hoover, the spouse. Well, it doesn't quite say that, but almost. But my wife sacrifices 9 hours a day working on her feet so that we can serve the Lord in Ethiopia. Don't tell me, oh, the man, the missionary. No, no, no. It's the couple, the missionary.
Yes.
She works just as hard as anybody, sacrifices as hard as anyone, so that we can serve the wonderful Lord Jesus there in Ethiopia. We did the same thing in Malta. I want you to know, many countries are like that. Mm-hmm. Well, here it says this woman. Did you notice what she had? The alabaster. I don't have a box. I wish I had a box.
Tissue box.
Whoops.
There's a tissue box.
Sorry. Tissue box.
Yeah.
All right.
Right there, brother. Ta-da.
Here's a... Thank you, Pastor. Here's an alabaster box. Doesn't it look like an alabaster box? Full of perfume. They tell us how many months' salary. Do you know? 12. 1 year's salary. Mm. 1 year. And she took that box. Now you know how they used to sit, don't you? They used to put their feet behind them and sort of lean at the table to eat. And she came. You know what she did? She broke that alabaster box. Now it was sealed. This is not sealed, but that one was sealed completely. And she broke the seal, probably a wax seal, I imagine. But she broke that seal, and the fragrance filled the house. Think about this. That woman gave a year's worth of love, gave a year's worth of adoration, gave a year's worth of something that was very precious to her, to her Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, how much do you and I give? Uh-huh. Yeah, think about that. How much do we give? Do we give something that cost us nothing? I remember David back in the Old Testament. You know, when he went to Araunah's threshing floor, you know what he said? He said, I will not give something to God. I will not give a sacrifice, an offering to God that doesn't cost me anything. That woman. Boy, she outgives a lot of us Baptists.
Yes, she does.
Uh-huh. That woman. 1 year. 1 year's worth of precious ointment she gave to her wonderful Lord. Look at how it says it. The woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he set it meat. But all the disciples saw it, and I imagine Judas Iscariot was right at the top of the list.
Yes, he was.
You know what he's probably saying? That's a waste! Because that's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't say that he said it, but I'll bet he was right there. I don't think I'm adding to the scripture one bit to tell you that he was probably at the top of the list saying, yes, I said, it's a waste, it's a waste.
That's right.
So you have the woman. And then the disciples, look at what they said. They had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. You know what? They didn't really care for the poor. They really didn't care for that. They didn't see the spiritual part of that house. I don't know how big the house was, but that house was filled with the fragrance of that beautiful perfume. She had given all she could. And yet, they're saying, what a waste.
Criticizing,
indignation. Man, we could have used that for something else. I've been in Baptist churches where instead of giving to missions, watch it, they'll say, can't we use it for something else?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Can't we, we need a new roof, we need new air conditioning, we need, our van is wore out, this is done, and we need that. They can get money from some other church. We need to take care of the home front. Well, if you take care of everything over here first, millions of people are going to die and go to hell. Now, the truth of the matter is, you know what Jesus said? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part. He didn't say you take care of all of your Jerusalem first, all of your Judea first, all of your Samaria first, then you go out there. It is to be done equally where that we work together here, there, and on and on and on.
Amen.
So, the woman. And then they said, this waste. But I want you to notice what else. In verse number 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Now verse 12, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my, what?
Burial.
Verily I say unto you, oh, I love this. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the third point, whole world. The whole world. There shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. You know what it says? You know what the Bible says? Even though he's dead, yet he speaks. I say, Brother Ray, how in the world does that happen? Man is dead and yet he still speaks. A woman is dead and yet she still speaks. A person is dead and yet their testimony goes on and on and on and on and on. I want you to know it happens in Christian circles.
Yes, sir.
When I was over in the Philippines, a man came up behind me like this and I turned around. It was Jack Baskin. And Brother Jack Baskin is an older man now, probably maybe close to 80 years of age. And I looked at him and I grabbed him and hugged him. He used to take our grocery money. Did he ever get your grocery money?
He gave me, on a couple occasions, he'd give me a $50 bill and say, I know you guys live in the north and this is Confederate money, but if you can use it, go ahead.
He never gave me any. He always took mine. They would tell stories about the Koreans, especially the little woman that they carried up 19 flights of stairs. And they'd carry her up in the wheelchair, and he'd tell all these stories, and we'd be just crying our eyes out. And he'd say, now let's take up the offering, and we'd go like this. All of it. And my wife would look over at me and she said, that's our grocery money. Oh, it's okay, it's all right, all right. And he got our grocery money I don't know how many times. But Brother Jack Baskin, I reminded him, by the way. He said, you gave it unto the Lord, I'm not giving it back. That's 40 years later, he still says that. But what I'm saying to you is that wherever this gospel is preached, the sacrifice of this woman is remembered.
Yes.
You remember how Jesus said it? A glass of what?
Water.
Cold water. In the name of the Lord, will not lose its reward.
Amen.
Well, if you get something for a glass of cold water, I'll bet you'll get something for a year's wages given to Jesus Christ.
Yes,
so, now think about this. It's a very simple message, but the woman. People were criticizing, to use the pastor's word there, criticizing the woman. Jesus was exalting the woman. You remember in John chapter 8 when they did the same thing? And they said, that woman. And Jesus said, well, let's write on the ground a little bit. I've often wondered, do you think he wrote down their sins? Well, I'd like to know. Because you know what the Bible says? The oldest one started walking off and it went all the way down to the youngest. I've often wondered what he wrote on the ground, but people would say, that woman. And Jesus would say, yes, that woman, let's redeem her. And let's bring her out of slavery. Let's bring her out of the sin and the problems that she's in. And give her eternal life. And give her a new life. Well, then, waste. Why was this waste made? Whatever you give to Jesus Christ, my friend, is not a waste.
That's right.
Your pastor and I were just young men when we were in Bible college. We were married, both of us, but you're right, there weren't very many married couples, just a few of us. But you know what? I look at him and I think I could say Pastor Stephen Jahnke has given his whole life in serving Jesus Christ. I can tell you, I've made a jillion mistakes over the years, but I've tried to give my life for Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, I'm not perfect, I can't serve the Lord. Well, you can join the rest of us sinners and just serve Him anyway.
Amen.
And love Him and give everything you've got. Can I say something to you young people? Listen, I was young like you once. I know it doesn't look like it. I probably look like I came off of Noah's boat. But that's not quite, I'm not quite that old. I want you to know something. Young man, God bless you for singing. Young ladies, these two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God bless you so much. Use your youth. Because one day you'll lose it. And use the ability that you have right now. Use it for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't go the way of the world.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yeah. Don't go the way of the world. Too many young people, oh, they come to church. Oh, when I was young, I was in the church. But now that I'm mature, and now that I'm 23, 25, well, I have to provide for myself, and I can't serve God now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I was 23, I believe. 23 when I got saved. You know what? I've served Jesus for 42 years.
Amen.
And I want you to know something. Yeah, I know. You've already figured it up in your head. You know how old I am now. I know. And it's not 75, it's 65. Just in case you misfigured. But what I'm telling you is, use your youth
now
for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Use it for Him. When I was there at Cebu City, I went into the Bible college and I saw all the students. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students on Saturday morning. They would come out at 6:30 in the morning, have breakfast, and at 8 o'clock they're out soul winning all day long, reaching men and women for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, use your youth.
Yes.
My goodness, don't just abuse it and say, oh, when I get old and when I retire. You may retire one day and die the next. There's no guarantee.
Yep.
By the way, somebody told me, they said, oh, now, Brother Ray, when you get 65, man, when you get 65, you know, this is going to happen to you and that's going to happen to you. Why turn 65? And I'm looking around like this. I'm just waiting for this cloud, you know, to just dump all this stuff on me. Guess what? 65 in one day, nothing happened. 65 in 2 days, nothing happened. 65 in 2 weeks, nothing happened. 65 in 2 months, I'm still counting. And bless God, it didn't happen. I'm telling you, use what time you have for Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old or in between. Use it for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, the woman and the waste. But then, the last W, I guess you could use the W there, is the whole world. Whether it's the Philippines, or whether it's Garfield, New Jersey, or whether it's Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. It does not matter. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, this will be attached to the gospel, that woman's love,
yes,
for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question now. Let's think about something. Do you have a testimony like that? Huh? You have something following you? I've got 3 children. I've got, well, all 3 of them. They love the Lord. They serve Him in their churches. I wish that they were preachers of the gospel. But you have to be God called, not Papa called. And not everyone's called to preach. But everyone is called to serve. And everyone is called to witness. And everyone is called to be an active Christian serving Jesus Christ. And they are, by the way. I thank God for that. So, I've got a little grandson. I've got several, but one of them, he said, Grandpa, you know what I'd like to do when I get old enough? And I said, what? He said, I'd like to come to Ethiopia and help you preach the gospel.
Amen.
Got a little granddaughter. She said, Papa, she said, I'm learning how to play the piano. She said, could I come? Amen. When I saw you playing the accordion, we have accordions over there where we go out in the country and play the accordion when there's no electricity. And that little granddaughter said, oh, how I'd love to come. And Grandpa, I'd play. Whenever you preached, I'd play the piano the best I could. I'm telling you, there are things that follow you and me. Serve the Lord with gladness and give your life to Him. You never know what little child might follow you into the ministry. And be the very one that would take up where you leave off. Because if Jesus tarries, one day you and I will leave off.
That's right.
And last song, last preaching, the last giving, and we leave this life. But you know what? God's church goes on.
Amen.
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 Jesus said, my church will never fail. Never.
Yes, sir.
And so, when you think about that, you know what? When we preach our last sermon, when we sing our last song, when we give our last dollar, when whatever we do for Jesus, it's finished and we go home to be with our Lord, somebody has to take our place.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of you tonight would be the person that would take our place? My first pastor was Pastor J. Frank Howell. Brother Howell was in Oklahoma City. He's a short man. And maybe he's not that short, but short anyway. And he had a finger that could reach from right up here to the back row. You know the kind I'm talking about? He preached heaven high and hell hot. And we used to say he'd preach a paint right off the walls. My goodness, people got saved. And that little church was about this size. You know what happened? I walked in there and I got saved on a Sunday night. And it seemed like, now there may not be quite this way, but it seemed like Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, there was always people getting saved. Church was full and altars were full. And I thought it was that way in every Baptist church. I had no idea. You could hear my pastor preaching probably when you're in the next town over here. What's the next town? Lodi?
Lodi.
Yeah, Lodi? 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 Loaded? Whatever it is. Lodi, right? So, man, he would preach. People would get saved. And that church was full of new converts. And people there, every Sunday, it seemed like they were baptizing 2 or 3, 4, 5 adults, workers. I was a mechanic. And people, plumbers and electricians and just all kinds of people and students. And boy, it was just full of people. And you know what I realized? It was because they loved them when they walked in the door. You could feel the love of God. Let me tell you one story and I'll quit. I sit right down here. And there was a man sitting next to me and I didn't know how to give. I really didn't. When I started giving my tithe, it was... Ever been there? Yeah, some of you probably have been. Boy, it's really hard to get that thing out and put it in a plate. But there was a man sitting next to me by the name of Basil Ackerman. He was a tire changer. Broke down these big truck tires with the hammer and the bar. Do you remember it? Any of you remember that? No? Some? Okay, you remember it? One. He had a couple of fingers missing that he lost from breaking down those old tires. But Brother Basil would reach in and he would do this. He'd take money out. Before the offering was taken, he'd go. When that offering would come by, there it would go. I asked him one day, I said, "What do you pray?" He said, "Brother Ray, now here I'm a young kid, he's an old man." I said, "Brother Ray," I say, "first of all, Lord, thank you for letting me work and make some money. And Lord, in your name, I give it." Amen.
Amen.
You know what it did to a 23-year-old kid sitting next to him? Boy, I said, "Man, if Basil can do it, I can do it." Guess what? I've tried to follow it. Whatever time you come into a church, part of worship is giving. Right. Don't come to church without giving. Your worship is, your giving is part of your worship.
Amen.
Brother Basil Ackerman helped me to understand that, and I've tried to give ever since. I want you to know, you cannot outgive God.
Amen.
Say, "Oh, well, rich missionaries." Yeah, right. Rich missionaries. Sure. Yeah, rich missionaries. But you know Baptists, none of us are rich. That's the Methodists down the street and the Episcopalians that are rich, but not us. But I want you to know we're rich in Jesus.
Amen.
Rich in the things that money cannot buy.
Yes, sir.
Rich in the things that only God can put in a man or a woman's heart. Well, we've talked a lot tonight, but remember the woman? The waste, so-called waste, wasn't really waste. And the whole world. Boy. Word of God is precious, ladies and gentlemen. There are people in Ethiopia who have never seen a Bible. There are people in Ethiopia who have never heard the name of Jesus. Just a few years ago, I ran across the first person. I asked them, I said, "May we tell you about Jesus?" Way out in the country. And she said, "Who is Jesus?" And many of those people in that village had never heard the name of Jesus. Didn't know who he was. Is he a football player? Is he a politician? Who is he? We had the privilege of telling them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are thousands of villages like that that have never heard. Now, Ethiopia is not unique. There are other countries as well. But I'm telling you, this world needs us. This world needs us to give everything we've got unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it. You'll never regret it. I wish I had another 40 years. The Lord may do it. I don't know. But I do. I wish I had another 30 or 40 good years to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it's worthwhile to serve Him. If that woman was here tonight, and by the way, she is, because wherever the gospel is preached, her giving is remembered. Hallelujah to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Oh, Father, the Word of God says that if Jesus is exalted, when the Son of Man is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Himself. Lord, draw us tonight. Draw us to Yourself and help us, oh God, to catch the vision and the burden for countries and cities and areas that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us. And Lord, tonight maybe there's someone here who's not a believer. They're not saved. Their sins have never been forgiven. Oh, maybe they've gone to a priest or to a church or done some religious activity. But oh God, they've never come to the Savior. And God, they've never had their sins put under the blood of Jesus Christ as far as darkness is from dawn, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Oh God, that has never happened. Lord, for someone here tonight like that, oh God, by Your Holy Spirit, draw them to Yourself, Lord. Help them to be saved. What a privilege it would be to be saved on Easter 2012. What a blessing. Oh God, what a blessing. And Father, maybe there's those here tonight that they just give haphazardly. Oh, they don't really sacrifice much. Oh God, help them to know that whatever we give to Jesus is worthwhile. Oh God, help us to learn what sacrifice really is. And God, help us to learn what giving really is. And God, help us to learn that a life given to You is not a waste. Oh God, bless this invitation, Lord. Bless it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may need to do business with God tonight. If you do, whether you're a boy, girl, man, or woman, young or old, makes no difference. Why don't you come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar and do business with our precious Savior? Now, Father, please bless this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Amelia's going to play the hymn. And we're not going to sing tonight, but if you'd just like to come and pray. If God spoke to your heart tonight about your service for the Lord, why don't you just come right now and talk to the Lord about your service for God. tonight and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, He's here. And He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And I want to come into your heart." And you can call upon Him this evening and He will be your Savior. Amen. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Brother Jack Baskin, he was here in our church several years ago, and we were able to reunite our friendship. It was a long-standing joke in college that if your child swallowed a quarter, bring him to Jack Baskin, and because he could get money out of anybody. And Brother Baskin is just a real blessing, and I just thank God for the men that the Lord brought us into contact with many years ago. Brother Ray, you did not know this, but those are the same verses that were read this morning just before the offering. Same exact verses. And, you know, I said, if you don't want to be criticized as a Christian, say nothing and do nothing. But that's not the way God wants us to live.
Amen.
He wants us to serve Him with everything that we have. And the young people, just keep serving Him.
Amen.
The devil will give you excuses not to serve Him no matter what age group you are. If you're young, the excuse is you got plenty of time. And then when you get married, the excuse is, well, I've got to make money and I've got to raise a family. And then Satan always gives excuses. Even the senior citizens that are holding out and not being saved, they've still got excuses. But that's all it is an excuse. And we can serve Him, and every day matters, every day counts. Amen. I appreciate some of the folks in our church, like Brother Tony here. He says, "Pastor, I want to die with a hammer in my hand." And I just thank God for our people. And well, let's dismiss in a word of prayer and pray that you'll have a great evening in the Lord. Let's all stand, please.